You know, the good thing about the lectionary that we follow is that over the course of 3 years, we visit pretty much the entirety of the Bible. And so every 3 years, we go through the Bible again and again and again, and it becomes deeper entrenched. We learn more about it. And that's great. However, there's some drawbacks, and that's that often things are taken out of order. Today's gospel is an excellent example of that. Here we are, 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, within 2 weeks of the end of our church calendar, coming up to Advent, the beginning of the calendar, and today's gospel places us smack dab in the middle of what we know as Holy Week. Now, that's really, really important. I'm actually really sad that this is taken out of Holy Week because it gives a whole new texture to that week. It's not just simply about a triumphant arrival in Jerusalem, spend a little time in Jerusalem, getting ready for the Passover, the upstairs, the betrayal, the crucifix, the trial of Jesus, you know, and put death on the cross, resurrection. There's a chunk in there that's missing. Jesus was really busy, actually, in Jerusalem after his triumphant arrival. What we don't realize is it was after his arrival that he cleansed the temple of the money lenders, the money changers, and he foretold of the destruction of the temple, and he was preparing his disciples for all that was to come. He'd already foretold his death. 3 times he did this before they arrived in Jerusalem. But then in Jerusalem, they had the triumphal entry. And perhaps, you know, you could forgive the disciples if they're thinking, okay, well, that's going to happen perhaps sometime. But look at now, it's really moving. The revolution has started. Look at, we are going. And then Jesus teaches about this. He tells them this. I don't know how long it was before the Passover meal, but it was within days, maybe within hours. He tells them, because somebody goes and asks, when's this temple going to be knocked down? He says, well, for starters, many are going to be trying to lead you astray. So don't follow them. Okay, all right. Then you'll hear of wars and insurrections, but don't be terrified. These things have to happen. Yeah, a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes and various places, famines and plagues. And oh, there'll be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. Can you imagine the disciples upon hearing this? They're like, what? Oh, but there's more. Did I mention that before all that occurs, you're going to be arrested and persecuted? They're going to hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. What? Oh, and you're going to be betrayed by your parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they might even put some, well, no, they will. They'll put some of you to death. What? It probably goes without saying, you're all going to be hated because of my name. I don't know about you, but if I were the disciples, I would have been sorry that I'd asked the question. If I were them, I could have gone my whole life without hearing any of that. Of course, Jesus also told them that he would give them words to testify. And even though some may die, all who stay the course but gain their souls to eternal life. He said that. The message to the disciples was, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but God is with you, and in the end, it will be worth enduring the troubles. However, I got to tell you, if I were one of those disciples, I may not have clearly heard that end part. You know, God being with them and aiding them during these troubles. I probably would have only heard the war, disaster, arrest, being hated, dying part, and then would have probably been in a traumatic coma of some form. It's no wonder And have you ever wondered, because of the way the lectionary presents it, have you ever wondered really why they locked themselves in the upper room? I would, because I've got a target on my back. I'm going to be arrested. Some of us are going to get killed. And then the world's going to fall apart. It's no wonder they locked themselves in the upper room. So how does this speak into our lives today? Well, the disciples had expectations of revolution of sorts and changing their culture following Jesus. But the way things were being foretold by Jesus, it's definitely not going to be what they expected. And despite a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, things are going to turn for the worst very soon. It goes to remind us that life can be hard. And God doesn't promise that bad things will not happen. Change happens. Expectations are not met. Uncertainty exists. Life can be stressful and it can be scary. But our faith guides us through such times. God gives us hope and lets us know that in the end, all will be well with our souls. You know, it's easy to see in today's world what we heard in the gospel today. Nations rising up against each other. Some long-time conflicts, like in the Middle East and Eastern Europe and South Asia. Others are newer, and even in here in Canada, we see divisiveness based on culture and region. Our world is experiencing natural disasters at a pace that has never been seen before in recorded history, in the form of earthquakes, tornadoes, parched earth wildfires, and rising tide floods. The threat presented by climate change is hovering over our heads and on the horizon. Add to that life's regular challenges, loss of job, aging, financial hardship, illness, and various other forms of strife. But, and thank God there's a but, God is with us in still quiet moments, providing calm in the midst of the storm. God is with us in love and joys we experience. God is with us in the beauty all around us and in every helping hand that reaches out in our times of need. God gives us hope of better to come, and in doing so provides comfort and strength in the moment. We also today have the experience of the disciples to look back on. They locked themselves in that upper room, but Jesus came to them, and in their fear brought peace. My peace I give to you. And upon his ascending to the Father, he also left his Spirit, which they each received during what we celebrate as Pentecost. With God's peace and Spirit within them, they could take on the hardships that came to pass. And so can we. And so can we. And for that, I say now and always, thanks be to God. Amen.